Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 201 of the Milk Bar. Just me, Jason, in the studio today. Zoe not able to join us, but she will be popping up a little bit later on when we hear from our band, because we'll be having a chat with Clark Datchler from Johnny Hates Jazz in a short while's time. Also on the show this week, we'll be finding out about events in Pattingham and a night with the Chad Singers coming up in May. Also, we're talking to Justin Pearson. He's going to let us know all about his recent films that he's been appearing in, and how you can see him and the Knights of the Dam performing live this coming bank holiday weekend. But before then, Yes, Prime Minister comes to the Grand Theatre next week. It is on from the 7th through to the 11th. And this star, the man at the top of the bill, is the Prime Minister himself, Jim Hacker, and that is Michael Fenton-Stevens. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, yeah. I've just arrived in Sheffield. So we're doing it in Sheffield this week, and then we're down in Wolverhampton next week, which will be lovely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because actually I'm also recording The Archers at the same time, so it works perfectly for me.
Because you are pretty much in anything and everything. Now, the number of times I hear your name off the bat, even like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you were there in, I think, what, the tertiary, quandary, and whatever else phases, however,
right, yes.
However they got numbered.
Yes, I'm one of those people. I just keep working, thank God.
And but you sound different lucky. Every time as well. Because I've never yet worked out which one's you, because you're one of those actors who can act.
I have spent my life changing my voice. It's been good fun. Yeah, I've been I've done a lot of radio and doing lots of different characters. And in fact, I've been in The Archers for about 3 years now, and I've got lots of friends who suddenly found out it's me. And I'm glad that was you. So that's nice, isn't it? When you're actually deceiving people who know you.
It is. That is very good.
You know. But in this one, of course, I'm playing the Prime Minister, and so I'm, basically my own voice just gets higher and higher as the evening goes on, because the whole play is, unlike the television show, really, it because you're doing a two-hour play, you have to do something that's a bit more sort of pressured and farcical. It has to go to a higher level in order to sustain 2 hours of comedy, really. And so it's much more of a farce than the television show would have been. And, you know, by the end of it, it basically starts off with the Prime Minister, everything going wrong for the Prime Minister. And by the end, it looks as if he's going to, you know, lose his job and everything's going to fall apart. And then at the last minute, Sir Humphrey saves him. So it's a very good evening's entertainment. I enjoy doing it every night.
When you're following on from something like Paul Eddington with what he did, and the cast of what is a classic TV show that I don't know how long it ran for, but it obviously started off with Yes Minister, then became Yes Prime Minister. And if I'm thinking correctly, that was alongside Maggie Thatcher's reign, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. She was a big fan, apparently. And in fact, I think at one point she wrote a sort of a spoof episode, which they recorded for her, I've been told, by Jonathan Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it for a sort of a private party, and she was in it. So so she's actually been in it.
Now, that one didn't surface in any of the tributes in recent weeks. But...
No, it didn't come through, did it, that one, no. But I'd like to hear it. It sounds like it would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's quite a list of people to follow, actually. There have been some really good actors played this part on stage as well. David Haig played it originally. And Richard McCabe played it the last time. And he won the Olivier last night for Best Supporting Actor. He's in the audience with Helen Mirren. So really, I've got quite a hard task to follow these people. But obviously, I do it much better than any of them.
Well, naturally. And your friends don't realise it's you. But
yeah.
with this, though, I mean, it's done the West End. You had three runs in the West End?
It has, yeah. And we may well be going back again after we finish this tour. There's talk of that.
And you're up and down the country now.
Yeah, it's great fun. I love going up and down the country. You get a very different view of the play. You have, from the audience, each time you do it, you know, we've got a line which we put in a few weeks ago, which is where I'm complaining about the BBC, and I say, oh, I hate the BBC, nasty, rude, arrogant people. It's like having three oppositions, one at Westminster, the other to a broadcasting house in Salford, wherever that is. and actually, when you play that in the north, they laugh because they sort of recognise it as being one of those typical sort of London-centric views that politicians have. And actually, when you play it in the South, they laugh because they sort of go, yeah, where is it?
Yes, no, not a clue what even a Salford is.
No idea. No idea at all.
Do you have
a little Southern bubble?
Do you have a political party that you're sort of following when you're doing this? Is it?
Well, the great thing about it is that it's completely apolitical. It's not really about politics, this play, strangely. It's about the relationship between politicians and civil servants. I mean, it's really the tussle between the Prime Minister, who wants to do anything to survive. He's desperate to stay in the job. That's all he wants to do. So he's always saying to people, what can I do to make the people like me? What can I do that voters will like? Anything. He doesn't really care what it is, as long as people will then vote for him. And I think that may be true of a number of politicians.
No.
Possibly a number of, even Prime Ministers. But Sir Humphrey, of course, being a civil servant, having been a civil servant for 50 years, he doesn't care. He doesn't care who comes in, because basically he's going to do whatever he wants to. And so whenever the Prime Minister tries to get him to do something that he doesn't think is a good idea, he just bamboozles him with those famous long speeches that Jonathan Lynn and Anthony Jay always wrote. And actually, Crispin Redman, who's playing Sir Humphrey, they're an incredible task. I mean, I have to say, I have twice as many lines as him, but mine are mostly conversation, whereas he does these massive sort of page and a half of gobbledygook, which he does incredibly skillfully.
Does he do the same every night?
No, it's great to watch every night.
you get to enjoy being part of the audience whilst on the stage, then.
Yeah,
I do. Those points.
And basically, at the end of each one of these, I say to him, you know, did that mean yes or no? It's very good fun.
How big is the cast for this one? Because in the TV show, it always seemed to be, you know, it was looking at a small circle of people with a few guest stars. So
yeah, there are basically four main characters. They've introduced a character called Claire, who's the Prime Minister's private advisor, and she's a very bright, fast, go-getting, you know, sort of powerful woman. And so that interests you in a new element. But actually, she's more hard-nosed than anybody. She's the one who just says, you know, do what's going to make you popular. She'll go for any policy as long as it keeps him in office, because she realizes that her job relies on him being in office. So she's there to protect the Prime Minister, whereas Sir Humphrey and Bernard is the same as he ever was, rather sweet and just trying to do his job well. And Sir Humphrey, of course, thinks that actually he's running the country. He thinks he's the one that should be running the country, because he's the most intelligent and educated and knows the best thing to do. So they're the main four main characters. And then you have the Director General of the BBC comes in at one point, and we have a whole major discussion about BBC funding. And then there's also a character of the ambassador of Kumranistan, which is where the play centres around. It centres around this ambassador who's staying at Chequers for the weekend.
Right.
And he's come over to offer an amazing deal to Europe, where he's going to sell them very cheap oil, and it's going to sort of solve all the economic problems in Europe. But unfortunately, he asks if the Prime Minister could supply him with some entertainment for the evening. And by that, he means three women. That's the dilemma they have. Either, you know, Claire says to him, well, is it better for three hookers to get screwed than the whole European economy?
It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic night and a little bit near the knuckle.
It is quite near the knuckle. It has its moment.
Which is part of the fun.
And but it always did, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. People, if you have a sort of rose-tinted view of it, if you look back at the programmes, they were always quite hard-hitting. It has its moments, you know. But I mean, it's not outrageous. I mean, and it's done for humour, you know, and nothing terrible happens. But they do talk about certain subjects that are surprising, I think. But that's good. It gives it an edge.
And bringing this time to the 2013s of this world, rather than back in the 80s, and it's completely moved on. Back in those days, people move bits of paper around and things like that.
Yeah.
Yet, we're now living in a fully technological world where things beep through on your BlackBerry, your iPhone, or whatever
exactly.
else.
Exactly. So they all have BlackBerries. I mean, in fact, Sir Humphrey is very keen for Bernard to make sure that the Prime Minister's BlackBerry doesn't work. He shows him how to mess it up. He says, look, you take the back off, and there's a thing there called the reset button. Do that, and he won't be able to use it for days. So, you know, he's got that, and it's all, and they're talking about tweeting things and all that sort of stuff, and Twitter and, you know, and Facebook and how to make himself popular on those sort of medium. So it is absolutely set in the modern day. And of course, it's also set with a coalition government. So it does absolutely reflect the situation that's going on at the moment. It's quite interesting.
So do you feel you're playing the part of an Etonian in this then?
the great thing is that the Prime Minister of this is a bit of a buffoon. he's a bit of an idiot. He's not completely stupid. Otherwise, he would never have got to be the Prime Minister. And occasionally, he does get the better of Sowerby, but by sort of threatening him he says he's going to reform the civil service, but he uses that, dangles that in front of Sir Humphrey to say, you know, either I could reform the civil service or we could cut the budget for the BBC. Which one do you want? You know, so it's that sort of, but generally the great thing is that I can eat as much as I like while I'm doing this tour, because I charge around the stage and run about all over the place. At one point I dive under the desk and hide because I can't bear what's going on anymore. so it's a real proper farce, and it's great fun. You get some lovely laughs from the audience. Everybody has a great time doing it and watching it, I hope.
Well, you can see Michael's Jim Hacker on stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. The first show is Tuesday, the 7th of May, straight the way through until Saturday, the 11th. Tickets start at £9.50, right the way through up to £25.50. Full details on how much for each performance can be found at grandtheatre.info. We'll give them a call, 01902 429212. And it is recommended for the 16+, as you mentioned a bit earlier on.
Yes.
What are the fantastic projects you're coming up? As you say, you got the Archers you're recording whilst you're around
the Archers
area.
Yeah. I'm playing the part of Paul. I'm having an affair with Lillian at the moment, and it's coming to quite a head. It's getting rather exciting.
Now, Lillian, is that the one who was married to the bloke who died of a heart attack who had the pub?
No, I don't think so.
I get confused.
She's married to, or she lives with Matt. So anybody who's an Archer fan, they'll know who Paul is.
I tend to dip in every few years and think, oh, hang on, I don't recognise them anymore.
It's still going on.
But if it wasn't there, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you?
You would be, I think, yeah. I'm doing that, and then actually in the summer, if we don't go into London, I'm doing a thing called Radio 4 the Musical, and we're going to the Edinburgh Festival, and I'm playing John Humphreys. So that'd be brilliant fun. So I get to do John Humphrey's voice.
Oh, go on. Just give us a bit of John Humphrey's voice for us.
Well, somebody said to me, did you study it a lot? And I said, no, I just put a bit of a Welsh accent on, because he is Welsh, and it just went very high. What, the Prime Minister, do you really think? And that just goes, he just does that quite a lot. Now, he goes very deep, and then he goes quite high again.
If ever anybody forgets the lines during Yes, Prime Minister, I would like to hear you interviewing yourself doing both voices. Could that be arranged? That'd be fantastic.
I'd certainly do that, yeah.
And the other bit that amazed me that reading your CV is you're the voice behind the chicken song for Spitted Image as well.
I am as well. I've had a very varied career.
It is.
I've enjoyed it a lot.
Quite peculiar. It sounds brilliant. So you're a name that I hear and a voice that I hear in many different guises, whether it's listening to Radio 4 or whether you've popped up on TV in yet another thing that you've been in.
But
it's good to talk to you. I'm glad you sound like you're enjoying this tour.
And I am. It's great fun. I love performing, and I love being on stage and everything. It's really great, that sort of live feel that you get on stage, but you don't get anywhere else, really. Apart from we do sort of recordings in front of audiences on the radio quite often with the old Harry's game that I do with Andy Hamilton. They're great fun.
Yeah.
But actually being in front of an audience every night. Now, people say, how do you do it over and over and over again, do it every night? And in fact, it's never the same. An audience is always a different thing. And every time you go into it, you find new things and it comes to life in different ways. It's great fun. It's really interesting. So I'm going to go off now and do it tonight.
Okay, well, you go off, do that, enjoy it. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. Is your first time at the Grand, or have you been that way before?
I haven't been there for many, many years, actually, yes. So I'm hoping they've done up the dressing rooms.
Actually, I can tell you that they have. They're very nice at the moment, so that's good.
Oh, lovely. Brilliant.
You'll have a fantastic time in there. Microphone to Stevens, thank you for joining us.
Nice to talk to you. Bye.
So once again, www.grandtheatre.info for more information, 01902 429212 to book your tickets to get along to see Yes, Prime Minister. Now let's take our first tune from a fantastic band from the 80s. In a moment or two's time, we're talking to Clark Datchler. This is Johnny Hates Jazz and Shattered Dreams.
Just too late to know.
We're now joined on the phone by Clark Datchler from Johnny H. Jazz. Hello, sir.
How you doing, Jason? How you doing, Zoe?
I'm fine, thank you.
All good. We've just heard Shattered Dreams, which was, of course, a major hit for you. What, is it 25 years ago? It can't really be 25 years now, can it?
I'm afraid it is, actually, yeah. I mean, we'd prefer to think that it was 20 or 15 or 10, but, yeah, 25 years is an awful long time, isn't it?
Gosh, it makes you feel old, doesn't it, when you...
Considering that Clark is now, what, 21, I don't know how you managed to work that out.
It is incredible, isn't it? Yeah, a miracle.
So give us a bit of the background to how you got together in the first place, all those few, you know, 2.5 decades ago, and how Shattered Dreams came about.
Well, I had met my colleague in Johnny H. Jazz, Mike Nocito, in 82. At a studio in London called Rack Studios, which was owned by the legendary record producer Mickey Most. And I'd been signed by Mickey as a solo artist. Mike was a young engineer at Rack Studios, and Mickey put us together. Thought that we could work well together, and we did. And subsequently, a few years later, Johnny H. Jazz was formed. And we did actually release a single called Me and My Foolish Heart, which got good radio play, was not a commercial success. And then I started writing songs for the band, the first of which was Shattered Dreams. And my father, who was a very successful jazz musician, came in as I was writing. I was writing in my parents' front room at that time. And he came in and he said, I think you've written your first hit. And bizarrely enough, he was one of the only people around us at the time who said it was going to be a hit. We were surrounded by a lot of people in the business who said, you got to be joking. Shadow Dreams will never be a hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can say that now in 2013. It's been played 3.5 million times on US radio alone. So I think we've made the point.
Yes. And I bought that on 12-inch single.
It was a good 12-inch.
It was fantastic. There was a lot of songs that did really well for you when it comes to things like I Don't Want to Be a Hero, Turn Back the Clock. Heart of Gold, was that the one where you got to have the sleeve designed by people who watched Saturday Superstore or something like that? You must have seen loads of kids' TV back in the day.
You did some good research, that's right. Actually, you know, we had a very, very broad audience. So we did do some kids' TV. We did all kinds of things all over the world, really. But that was an interesting one. And I particularly liked the concept of getting somebody to design a cover. And we had loads of entries. And then eventually the winning entry was picked. And it turned out to be a really good cover. In actual fact, the young lady who designed that cover, who's now a little bit older these days, contacted us over Facebook. So we're in contact with her again. And we'll make sure we get her an album because she's part of history, our history anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And what happened in the intervening period, though? Because you've been releasing singles through into the 90s that are listed on discographies, but you can't just have stopped work. You must have been doing loads of other stuff behind the scenes of the music industry, even if you weren't doing it in your own names.
Well, the thing is, Jason, the last Johnny H. Jazz single that we regard as being bona fide Johnny H. Jazz was Don't Say It's Love, which was 1988.
Mm-hmm.
After that... you know, Mike did his own things. He did something under the name Johnny H. Jazz. I think he felt contractually obliged to do that, but went on to do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, working on other people's records. I did. I recorded three solo albums, the last of which came out in 2007, an album called Tomorrow, which I recorded in my own solar-powered studio in Arizona. So, you know, we've had kind of both of us had a weird and wonderful interceding years. And we always had this feeling that we would reunite at some point and make what would, in essence, be a follow-up to Turn Back the Clock. We never thought in our wildest dreams it would take 25 years, though.
A bit of a time.
But it does give you a good excuse to go on tour and play your favourite songs, though.
Oh, very much so. I think we've been doing some acoustic performances recently. I really enjoyed it, and it's been great to reinterpret tracks like Hero and Turn Back the Clock, obviously Shattered Dreams, in that way. So, you know, I can see us doing more acoustic stuff, obviously fully blown stuff. That's in the works. We're working on when we're going to go out on the road. So we'll have news about that soon.
Do you find you've got the same fan base as what you had when you were together in the 80s and 90s? Have they waited for you and come back?
Zoe, that's a really interesting question, because the answer to that is yes and no. there's definitely a lot of people who have loyally waited, wondering if there would ever be another Johnny H. Jazz album, and they're definitely there. But I have to say that, you know, in terms of the response we've got from radio, which has been absolutely wonderful, really fantastic, we've had a very positive response from student radio, and they don't know who the heck we are. they've just heard the new single, and they said, oh, this is great, you know, we want to play this. And I think that's indicative of how I see the album fitting into today's marketplace. That is that for people who are fans of Johnny H. Jazz traditionally, they'll find a lot in there that they'll recognize and hopefully really enjoy. And for a new audience, I think they'll find that it sounds like an album that sits very well in today's music scene. So it's a bit of both.
And will I be able to go there and physically buy a 12-inch single of this? Or is it mostly digital downloads these days that there's going to be selling the album?
You know what? Look, the fact is we all know that vinyl's making an incredible resurgence, and so I could see us go to vinyl, you know, fairly soon. And I think we'd love to do a 12-inch version of magnetized single. But it's going to be on physical CD. Yes, of course, you can download it. And I hope we can do a high-quality vinyl release in the near future.
And you released on the 6th of May through all the usual methods, as you say, so it will be hard copy CDs as well as the digital side of things too. And yeah, that must, you know, brings the sort of magic and excitement that he did when Shattered Dreams first made its way out into the record shops back in the 80s.
I think it does. And in some ways, I've got a feeling that I'm going to enjoy it this time all the more, because when it happened, you know, back in 87 with Shattered Dreams, we had prepared many, many years, you know, individually and collectively for that moment. And in another way, you know, there's no way you can prepare for that when it happens. It was so big internationally all of a sudden that, you know, we were kind of swept off our feet. But now I'm a little bit wiser from the passing of the years. And I think I'm going to have a greater perspective of how fortunate and humbling it is to be in a position where, you know, people really love your music and want to get behind you.
Certainly brings back fond memories of the 80s for me, and the acceptable side of the 80s and not the slightly embarrassing stuff with the neon-coloured socks. So have you got a web address that people can find out about tours and things which are on the way in the near future?
Well, you can find us at johnnyhatesjazz.com and also on Facebook, official Johnny Hates Jazz. We're posting all the time there, so there'll be a lot of news coming up, yeah.
Are you tweeters too?
Yeah, beginning to be. I know we should, and we will. I mean, I'm on Twitter personally, and we do have an official Twitter page, so we'll be getting into that more and more.
And all those links on the main website as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clark, great speaking to you. Thanks again for joining us, and now we're going to take a listen to that brand-new single. This is Magnetized. I cannot explain. Johnny H. Jazz and their brand new single, Hypnotized. Now, on the phone, a man who's been in more films than many people, I would guess, but you have to look carefully in the credits to find his name, Justin Pearson. Hello, sir.
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Been a good 12 months, I must admit. Slowed down a little bit at the start of this year, but last year was absolutely brilliant. Very fortunate to have worked on 7 films last year in the UK. Yeah, great.
That is quite impressive because you don't get many of the big name stars who get to appear in quite so many films. And I think you get the fun stuff as well, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, basically, we'll start at the start of the year. I worked on, it's out next week, actually, Fast and Furious 6. They filmed a lot of it in Europe. They came to London for a few weeks, filming at one of the train stations in London. From that, I went straight on to Red 2 with Bruce Willis.
Now, I rewatched Red a while ago. It was on a plane on the way back from Brazil last week. And a fantastic film. So, Red 2, did you get flown over to the US for this one?
No. Again, they shot a lot of it in Europe, kind of Eastern Europe. A lot of these movies are coming over to the UK now because of the space. You know, there's a lot of good studios offering a lot of tax breaks as well. The old Leavesden Studios that Harry Potter was filmed at, that's now being bought by Warner Brothers. That's chock-a-block with movies now over the next 2 years, so hopefully there'll be a bit of work about. But yeah, it's just they seem to be making more films over here than the States anyway. You know, I don't know exactly why that is, but it's all good for the stunt performers in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, you're making the most of it, and this all runs alongside your own kind of stunt troupe with what you do at the weekends.
Yeah, as you may know, I run the Knights of the Damned medieval jousting stunt team, which is basically a modern-day display team. We've taken the old sport of medieval jousting, and we largely base it on the hit movie from Columbia Pictures, A Knight's Tale. So, we take the old sport of jousting, we bring it into the modern era with rock music, a lot of colour, a lot of stunts. And next Saturday is our own event, which is at Apley Farm Shop, which is between Telford and Bridge North. Yeah, there's a lot more going on as well on that day. You know, we've got Ben Potter from the TV. He flies big vultures, big eagles. You know, what he does is really spectacular. Obviously, the Knights of the Damned, you know, we're on twice on the day. You've got real ale tests and circus skills, jesters, other acts. You know, it should be a good day out.
So that is Saturday, the 4th of May. Just getting you ready for the whole of the bank holiday weekend, isn't it? You're the start, and I think you're going to peak early if you're going to go see you, to be fair. It's going to be a good day, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we've got a capacity, and we've sold 50% of the tickets in advance. So, you come on the day, we'll squeeze you in, no worries about that.
It is a sort of event that you expect to walk up to as well, isn't it, rather than buying in advance. So, you know, if you want to go online, do buy your tickets, call up and get those ready. So you can come along. So give us the full details on how to find you then.
Yeah, okay. Basically, it's on the A442, which is if you leave Telford on the way to Bridge North, on the Bridge North Road, just a couple of miles outside Telford, you'll come to the Apley Farm Shop, and that is the fantastic venue for the Apley Jousting Fair, which, as you say, Jason, is Saturday the 4th of May, this Saturday coming. It's well signposted, banners up. Yeah, the event runs from 10 till 5 on the day, adults £10, children £5, family ticket of 4 is £20.
A great value for money as well for a full day out too.
I think so, yeah. This week you can get your tickets advanced as well, you know, which is £7.50 an adult, which is, it's a couple of pints of beer, isn't it? You know, it's for a full day's entertainment, you know, it is a cracking price. And, you know, we've had a lot of great publicity for this event, so get down there.
And you get to see you and your colleagues who maybe they're appearing in films up and down the country, all over the world, and they're actually there for you to come and see them doing these sort of stunts live, which I think is quite exciting in itself, isn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, you get a chance to see the action, the horses and the stunt sequences up close in colour. Yeah, you know, which you can't beat. You can't replicate that, or, you know, watching television or YouTube. You know, it's there for you to see close up, all the bangs, the cracks, the spills. You know, it can't beat it, can you?
Give us the web address so people can actually find out more and see a few pictures of you in action before they come along.
I mean, our web address is www.theknightsofthedamned.co.uk. You've also got the venue, which is www.appleyfarmshop.co.uk.
And if you want to find out more about you and your stunt work, give us your web address too.
Yeah, it's just had a new website revamped. It's www.justinpearsonstunts.com.
And what has been your favourite film of the last 12 months since we last spoke?
I would basically say I was very fortunate. I'm not sure if we spoke since, but I had a couple of weeks on the James Bond film Skyfall. That was shot at the start of last year. And as you know, it came out October last year. But yeah, played a journalist in that, in the court scene where M is getting her knuckles wrapped a little bit. And there's a bit of a shootout between the baddie, Javier Bardem, and Daniel Craig. And I'm the last guy to get shot in cold blood by the baddie before he leaves the courtroom.
Now, I have seen that film, and I know you. We've met, and I didn't notice. I'm sorry. I'll go back. I'll go and get it on Blu-ray and freeze frame you. Okay, is that all right?
Yeah, blinking, you'll miss it. Yeah, yeah.
But it must be great doing this sort of stuff and being part of all these scenes.
Yeah, it's good. It's, you know, I'm getting slightly older now. I'm moving up the ladder a little bit.
Right, so, now remind people how old you are. Now you say you're getting older.
40.
Yes.
Yeah.
In your game, that is equivalent to 60, probably, isn't it, unfortunately?
Well, yeah, I did a TV show last week called The Guilty, doubling an actor called Chris Fulford. Basically, what he does is he goes up to a lady getting into a car, multi-story car park, and she closes the door on his hand and then reverses at speed. So I had to do kind of that drag and then spin off it at the end of when she put the brakes on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, just as I'm lying there, my legs were quite close to the front wheel going backwards. So it's like thinking, do I really need to be doing this at the age of 40? But
yes, you do, because you love it. You'd have it no other way. That's the thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it pays the bills, doesn't it?
I cannot imagine that passion ever leaving you. So you're going to carry on doing this as long as you are physically able and then probably a bit longer too.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about that point now anyway, to be honest.
Always good to speak to you. And we look forward to seeing you in many more films to come, even if you do end up in cameo roles as somebody who just falls downstairs. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good to speak to you. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you. Cheers.
Right, let's take our third tune from Johnny Hates Jazz. This is Turn Back the Clock. Johnny H. Jazz and Turn Back the Clock. Fantastic memories of that song. Great time, whatever the latter part of the 80s. Look, I was just a sweet young thing at the time, but there we go. Now, out of the phones we go once more, where we find Mike Cooby. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you, how are all things Pattingham to start off with? Is there anything that's going on that we need to know about before we start talking about Chad Singers?
Yeah, we've got a busy year in front of us, actually. So we've got the Bells Run, which is on October the 13th. That's a Sunday. That's an annual event, as you probably know.
Oh, yes.
But this year...
I got my cake from that one. That was
you
lovely.
You did, yes. that'll happen again, of course, the cakes and the brasses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've got coming up again is the Scarecrow Festival. We did that back in 2011 for the very first time, and it was absolutely a resounding success. A three-day event, so we're going to do pretty well the same again this time. And that'll be from the 27th to the 29th of September.
Before then, you have, on Saturday the 11th of May, the first concert with a new musical director at the Chad Singers. Tell us more about this one, because it's very much a seasonal event.
It is. We've called it Melodies for Spring, and it's the first concert that's been given by our brand-new musical director, Sue Carter, who comes from Purton. She joined us at the beginning of the year, and we've been rehearsing very, very hard to get this concert all nice and slick, etc. So that's happening on the Saturday the 11th of May in Pattingham Village Hall at 7:30. A qualified musician, she has a degree from Birmingham University and runs another little choir of pensioners and also teaches music as well, so a very, very accomplished lady.
When the music selections came through for this one, obviously that theme of spring and bringing a bit of brightness into the world was one that you went for. How many people were involved in selecting the songs?
Well, we basically, we've got quite a repertoire that's been built up over the last 10 years or so anyway. So Sue, when she came, she was given a great pile of music. And from that, she selected the pieces that we're going to be singing at this spring concert.
And you've actually got some solos as well as the whole group of the Chad Singers working together.
Yeah, we've done the odd solo before, but Sue is very keen on bringing soloists forward. So we've got a whole bag of them this time, actually. And they're all straight out of the choir. Some are complete solo songs, some are sort of part solo. So it adds a lot of variety into the concert generally. So that's the way she's doing it at the moment.
Well, tickets are priced at £8 each, and they can be got from choir members if you know somebody, or Sue Penny on 01902 700 136.
That's
Pattingham 700 136. And it all goes towards the ongoing use of the Village Hall and the support for the Chad Singers themselves. But is there any charity donations to be had there?
Yes, that's the heart of the choir, really. We actually, part of our logo says Singing for Charity. So we've always done it on that sort of basis. This year we haven't decided which charities yet, but it will probably be a mixture of charities. But they will be local charities. Last year we did the Pattingham Park redevelopment project, which is basically rebuilding all where the children play on the playing fields. So that's about 40 years old, so it's long overdue for replacement. So we did that for last year, and we raised about £2,000 for that for them.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we haven't decided a specific one, but it certainly will go to that sort of cause. Yeah, we do a lot for charity. We've raised probably approaching £20,000 now over the years. So.
Well done for that, and long may that continue.
Yeah.
So Melodies for Spring, it starts at 7:30 in the Pattingham Village Hall.
There is
a half-time interval, and it's priced at £8 each for your tickets, and you can get those by calling Sue Penny on 01902 700 136. And what is the website for all things Pattingham?
Well, we've got several, actually. We've got a Chad Singers website, which is www.chad-singers.co.uk. And then we've got the Pattingham Church one, which is www.pattingham-church.org. And that includes details of the Bells Run as well, and also the Scarecrow Festival.
And before you know it, we'll be talking about Christmas again. And I know you're going to have some fantastic events for that too.
Yes, we'll certainly be doing a Christmas concert with Chad Singers in the local church, yeah.
Mike, as ever, fantastic speaking to you. We'll look forward to some of those events, and if you do fancy that musical night, Saturday the 11th of May is the date to put in your diary.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
And so that completes this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us. Zoe will be back with us for the whole show next week is the plan, and we look forward to seeing you for episode 202 then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.